Good morning. You're tuned in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer, and I'm in the studio this morning with my guest for the morning interview, Amanda Roberts, who is the health educator with the Community Wellness Department at CERT. Amanda, thanks for being here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we're here to talk actually about a lot. there's a lot to talk about on this topic and a lot going on in your department around tobacco cessation and sort of things from there. I think the first thing we want to talk about is cigarette butt cleanups that happen monthly. And I just want to ask you if you could fill in listeners kind of about the history of that and where you're at with it now.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2018, gosh, it's been a while, the statewide smoke-free workplace law went into effect. So what that did is that created all work environments where any employees are housed and working with members of the public, that they those places would all be smoke-free across the board. And so when that law change happened, I went around and talked with businesses and the coalition, the Hope Coalition that I work with, went and engaged with these businesses that were going to be going smoke-free and talked to concerns. What were some maybe worries that were coming down the line with this change, which was going to be a big change for the community. And one of the things that was expressed was concerns of increased cigarette butt litter. And that was absolutely a valid concern. And we thought, well, as a coalition, how can we help mitigate that issue and hopefully help reduce some of the burden? And so we decided to pilot this community cleanup. And it went so well, and we had such great feedback that we thought, let's do this on the regular. So we started doing these monthly, and we've been doing them ever since.
And so you still, every once a month, you and a group of people, and you're always looking for more volunteers, will hit the streets, hit a particular area? Does it change?
Yeah, so it's pretty much been the downtown district. So we typically start down at the community playground, the Crescent Harbor Community Playground, and we work our way down the Seawalk and through the downtown Lincoln Street area and then work our way back. And we've been primarily doing that location, but as of the last 2 years, we've been also including parks. So we've been just trying to want to explore kind of just looking at these areas and collecting data and seeing, is this an issue in our parks?
Yeah. So that kind of brings us to the next thing that's going on with your program, which is, yeah, this 2-year data collection so that you can have decided to focus on what it might be like to have tobacco-free parks and playgrounds. So I am curious what you've found over these last couple of years that you've been keeping track of data as you clean up spaces, as you count cigarette butts. What are the results?
Yeah, we've been pretty, I'd have to say we've been pretty focused this summer so far, really primarily in the downtown area. I think just with the higher rates of tourism and just having so many condensed amounts of people, we just really want to, again, track information, see how much of an issue this is and how prevalent tobacco litter is. And it's prevalent, I just want to say. And I'd say typically on average, depending upon how many folks we have cleaning up, it could be 3, it could be 2 1 month, it could be 6 or 7 the next. It just depends on people's availability. But we can have at least per cleanup within an hour and a half to 2 hour span over 2,000 cigarette butts. We count every single cigarette butt. Wow. We track this data. So I have my little tracking sheet and just kind of, like I said, crunch these numbers and see how much of an issue this is. And there's numerous reasons why cigarette butt litter is such an issue. And this is across, this is universal. I mean, this is not just national, this is internationally. Cigarette butts are the number one littered item in the world. And they are not biodegradable. Mm. They are extremely toxic for the environment and anything that picks them up or touches them. So we definitely don't use our hands to say that. But just there are concerns about having these things littered on the ground and in our waterways and the environment.
Right. So one of the issues with cigarette butts is they are toxic and they're non-biodegradable, and they do things like end up in the water system. Mm-hmm. We were chatting before we came on the mm-hmm. air. And also maybe in pets' mouths, yeah. other animals, like they're impacting the inner environment in a multitude of ways, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've done surveying and had conversations with community members just out and about when we do these cleanups. And I've had numerous folks tell me that their dogs actually pick up cigarette butts. And
good.
I just find that absolutely just
right.
Appalling. But yeah. yes, they do. And it makes me think of birds or other things that might pick these up. And again, these are full of heavy plastics and fibers that contain these chemicals. We're talking about the process of when you smoke and you're pulling the smoke and the burning tobacco and the process that happens with burning a product and the chemical process that happens with that. Gets pulled through the filter and it remains in that filter. And when you litter it, those chemicals remain in that and then they leach into the environment. And it's, yes, incredibly toxic. There is 7,000 chemicals in tobacco smoke and 69 of those are carcinogenic, meaning cancer causing. So it's definitely very concerning. We don't want these things in our environment.
Well, besides for those obvious reasons that you just stated, why, what are the benefits of potentially going, you know, tobacco free of all this cleanup that you're doing of getting these butts off of the, out of our environment?
Great question. So obviously not having those products littered in our environment will reduce the exposure to those chemicals. And that means exposure to the ground around us, waterways, and then also potential animals. It also, taking these places smoke-free or tobacco-free, it helps reduce, exposure to youth. I think one thing we're super focused on in the work that I do is reducing youth initiation to these products. And I think the more we create those environments, the more we're creating kind of that norm where tobacco use is not even visible. So they're not even being exposed to it. And that does show success in reducing that exposure to youth and just creating family-friendly environments where people aren't exposed to the secondhand smoke harms and just role modeling healthy behaviors. And these types of policies also promote quit attempts. We talked a little bit about that and we can segue into the cessation part.
Yes, let's do that because that's an important piece of this. It's fascinating that this kind of change to our community can affect people's decision to quit. And you have a lot of resources for folks who are interested in quitting. So tell us a little bit about what are some of the resources people have who might want to begin the journey of quitting smoking?
Yeah, great question. So with my program, we first and foremost promote Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line. And they have a whole buffet, as I put it, of resources available. And it is free to all Alaskans. So any Alaska residents that have lived in Alaska, I believe it's a year or more, is considered Alaska resident and will have these free services available. And there's numerous ways to get enrolled. But that includes free quit coaching, helping folks to come up with a quit plan, setting a date, just making all the changes, the lifestyle changes, preparing for that. Because it is a big, and I personally know that, it is a big lifestyle change. And so kind of helping you get everything lined up, your support system, getting you the nicotine replacement products you need, the medication support to help kick the cravings. All those things are super important and help build success in quitting tobacco.
Yeah. Well, I want to first say congratulations to you. How many years have you been not smoking or smoke-free, however you phrase it?
So as of the 21st of this month, it was 14 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. So wonderful. Yeah. And it's great to have someone who's gone through the process in this role to help other people. And then I wanted to ask if you could share the quit line information and also your own information so people can reach out to these two resources.
Yeah. So there's multiple ways to enroll, which makes it super easy and accessible to folks. So the one way to enroll is you can go to the website and you can access that on your phone if you have a smartphone, or you can get on your computer and hop on the website. It's alaskaquitline.com, all one word. And you can click a few buttons and easily enroll in there. You can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. That's been the kind of the set number for many, many, many years and kind of gets stuck in people's brains. And that's kind of nice too. And then there's also a text-to-quit program. And the number for that has recently changed. So it used to be, I think, 200-400, and now it's changed. So you can text READY, and all capital letters, READY, to, and I'll give, because I think you wrote it down.
Wrote it down.
It's fresh and new.
That's right. So the number to text is 34191.
Perfect.
Great.
So text READY to that number and it will, boom, you'll get somebody connected to you. You can also reach out to me. And my direct office line is 907-966-8745. Or you're welcome to email me at Amanda R, AMANDAR, at search, SEARHC, it's an acronym, .org. And the nice thing about that is we have an electronic referral to the quit line. So, and anybody's electronic health record, if you are seen at search, you are have access to that. So you are welcome to, I can connect to that, or your provider, if you have a provider that you're connected with and you say, gosh, I've been thinking about quitting. I really want to get connected to the Quitline resources. A few clicks of the button in your chart and boom, they will submit a referral automatically to the Quitline. And the nice thing about that is it somebody from the Quitline reaches out to you directly. It removes a little bit of that pressure.
Well, this is amazing. Thank you for all of that information, Amanda, and also just for being here this morning for the morning interview.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And that was Amanda Roberts, the health educator with the Community Wellness Department at Search. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.